Welcome to Here We Sew Again, the podcast where three sewists from different backgrounds discuss all things sewing. I'm Amanda Carestio.
I'm Meg Healy.
And I'm Kate Zeinard. Today on the podcast, we're talking sewing tech. Technology advances every year, and that includes in the sewing world, from apps, machines, projectors, and more. So let's chat about some technology that has made our sewing more efficient, or some that confuses us. And then, as always, we'll share a little something in our Sew Inspo segment. But before we get started, how is everybody doing?
Doing okay?
Hanging in there?
Indeed.
Ready for spring.
Yes, yeah. I'm so ready for spring. I've been sewing leather like a fiend. Well, not like a fiend. I've been sewing a little bit of leather.
I saw. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And embroidering leather.
Oh my God. It was so much fun. I finished it yesterday. I finished it in like so fast. I was like, I was Meg or something. But it was, it was so much fun. Like everything went super smooth. It was just like the needles worked and my machine worked and the embroidery worked and everything was just like absolutely perfect. And I'm like, this is so easy. There's no way that this is actually this easy. I must have just picked the perfect piece of leather or something. But I was so pleased with it and I had so much fun. And now I'm trying to figure out what I can do with the rest of the leather I have because I enjoyed doing that first one so much.
Did you say what that's going to become, Kate?
It's a bag. It's a purse.
Okay, cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll post some pictures of it because I finished it and it's gorgeous. I just haven't taken pictures yet because I finished it and had to like run out the door as soon as I stuffed some stuff in it. So, do have a couple of notes if people are interested. Just a couple of things that that came up. First of all, I said in the last episode that you should turn your speed down when embroidering with leather, and that's actually wrong because the higher speed helps to punch through the leather.
You're
embroidering thicker leather, you want to turn up your speed a little bit to kind of, you know, punch through with more momentum. And Meg, my husband, wanted me to tell you that there are contact cements that you can use on leather that have a dry time of like 20 to 30 minutes, so you don't have to wait all day. So he just wanted you to
that's
be aware
nice.
Of that.
That's yeah, I
know,
I like
right?
that.
For sure.
Part of me is like, still 30 minutes.
I know 30 minutes is such a long time to wait. But my theory is, you know, you glue your straps and then you work on another part of it.
Exactly. So. It's just like when you're embroidering, you have an hour stitch out, you just do something else while you're waiting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Instead of just sitting there watching paint dry, which sometimes I just do. I get mesmerized by my embroidery all the time.
I sat there for every stitch of that leather embroidery. Like, I was like, It's going so well. Okay, take some video of it. All right. And then I was just sitting in front of the machine, like looking back and forth from the machine and posting it on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like you used like a moon kind of design, correct?
It's from Urban Threads. It's called the Celestial Drape. So it's got like moons and stars and kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I like drape designs. I think they're really pretty. Urban Threads has a bunch of them. So...
Oh, yeah. Urban Threads has really cool, like, design.
Oh, they have great
I love
stuff.
A lot of their designs. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the beginning of my weekend, I had just, like, a rude awakening. No, it was just, you know, when you just step out of your sewing world and just, I did my first, like, in-person driving test. And
oh, how did it go?
I'm in excitement. Failed.
it was
being pregnant. I took it so hard. I literally cried for the entire day. Like, aww. I took it just really, I must have just been the hormones, but it was just like I was practicing. I did everything, like, you know, my instructor picked me up and we did the whole route, and of course, like, there's two routes, and like one route you are taken like maybe one out of 20 times. And of course, guess what route I get?
Oh, the one
that I didn't practice. I practiced it once, not the one that I've practiced like every driving lesson. Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know. The instructor was just maybe had a bad day. And I just, the energy in the car was really, and I just got thrown off and I just made silly mistakes. And I just, I felt like the sense of failure just like really hit me. I think it was being pregnant and I just, it just ruined my
Oh my God.
But then I was texting all my friends and like, everyone's like, everyone fails at least once. You know, my brother's failed it. He failed it three times, you know. My friends are like, oh, I failed it once. So it was just so funny, like, just to... just like, oh.
Well, okay. that has to be such a mind game, too. Like, if, you know, one thing goes wrong and then that throws you off and you're thinking about it too hard in the moment.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like, you know, driving is something that, like, yeah, it's kind of a mind game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't even upset about failing it. I was upset how, like, just it made me, like, be, like, the sense of fail. Maybe I was like, Meg, come on, just get over it. And then I just couldn't. It must have been the hormones, though. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes stuff just hits you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, I got a couple job rejections like right in a row, and the first one I was like, okay, whatever. And then the second one, I didn't even remember applying for this job. I like looked at it and I'm like, did I apply for that? I guess I did. And then like 2 minutes later, I was just crying my eyes out because I was like, nobody wants me. So I cried for a while, and then I emailed Meg about some stuff, and you know, we're all good.
It's so hard when that happens to like not make it bigger than it is, and like, what does this mean? And like, think about it in the bigger picture instead of like, it's just this one thing that happened. But yeah, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I'm taking it again next week, and I'm just
keep
practicing. And now I know what to expect. That was like the first time like I've taken it in person, and like now I know what to expect, and like, just, you know, and it could just be a different instructor, but I'm taking it like in a different city.
Yeah.
With a bit like, I don't know. So.
Yeah. I think you're going to ace this one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was
Stay confident, though.
Yeah. And I got the end of the test, you have to like reverse parking. And I already kind of knew I failed it. I was just making silly mistakes and I already knew. And I started to cry, like, as I was, and I just got frustrated. And then they're like, so you're telling me you can't do this maneuver? I'm like, I can't.
I just can't do it right now.
I mean, you're obviously pregnant. Like, they needed to just be like a little kinder, maybe.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's, you know, I hear that too. You know, sometimes the examiners can be like that. It's just, you could just catch them on a bad day and stuff. But
I'm going to have to beat somebody up.
I know. No. I'm like, we're going to have to take our own little road trip to Canada to beat up a random driving instructor.
Oh, no.
I get it.
It's
protective.
Like it's a boring job. I mean, you're just sitting, sitting in a car all day. But
maybe your entertainment is just being mean and nasty.
Ugh.
Yeah, maybe
not okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, it kind of like threw me off for 2 days. I was like, it just spiraled into me like, am I gonna fail at being a mother? I can't even sell. Like,
oh,
I was
no.
just like, no. And like, just, I had to just talk myself down and be like, Meg, this is just like a driving test. Like, you're fine. Like,
I just hate how
it
affected me. And you can take it again next week.
I know. It's just, and then part of me is like, sometimes it's like, they have to fail a certain amount of people a day because it's like they make money off of if you fail because you have to pay every time. So everything's a business, right?
Right. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So I'm feeling better today and I did some sewing. So we're all good.
Good.
Well, keep us posted on your progress and let us know if we need to come to Canada.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's hop back into sewing. And I think it's time for our Sew What's New. Meg, I know that you found a new pattern, and I have one I'd like to share, too. You want to kick us off, Meg?
Sure. I actually already bought it and printed it out in the hour wow. before we started recording. It was just, I just loved it. It's this by Atelier Jupe, and it's their Florence wrap dress, and it just looks so easy breezy, breastfeeding friendly wrap dress for the summer. Totally. Like, it was just like, there was no like darts or like it just, and I, it just really spoke to me, and I said I could wear this like a lot all summer, like even going out with the baby for a while. It reads like a robe kind of wearing it, but it looks like a really cute little wrap dress, and I loved the collar to it as well, and so I just immediately bought it, and I'm gonna make some.
It's like it's like a camp shirt wrap
yeah,
dress.
Yeah,
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real cute. I love the kind of tunic length version too.
Yeah, you can make it into a blouse. I don't think it has pockets, so I think I'll probably add like some inseam pockets to the side seams. I can't remember if it did or not. I haven't really went through the instructions, but yeah. And I just like the relaxed like slit, like it doesn't have a set in sleeve, it's just like the band, and yeah, so that's just kind of my vibe right now.
Yeah, real and cute. I love it.
Yeah, how about you, Amanda?
I have a quick one to I wanted to share.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to see a new pattern from Sew House 7, one of my favorite design companies. But their new pattern is the Regalia blouse. And this is, it's a blousey blouse. I love it. There's a poof sleeve and a gathered sleeve. There is ruffle above the, like at the chest yoke. And also a really pretty high neckline. I just really feeling it. I love it. I love Sew House 7 too, because I feel like it's like just the right amount of like feminine detail for me, but without being fussy, and also just remaining super wearable. So really love this blouse. I think there are some really nice design options built in too. So yeah, I feel like it's a nice addition to your pattern library.
Yeah, that's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a little bit of my dearly beloved Up in Arms blouse, but with like more sleeve and a higher neckline.
Yeah.
I can't remember if there is a dress version, but I feel like that would really be pretty as a dress. Because I think it kind of reminded me of the Ramona dress with the neat neckline and like kind of the ruffles, and it kind of goes out from the body, from the chest down. But yeah, maybe that's just where I'm at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, I saw this one in my inbox, a new pattern, and I loved this one too. Super cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could do it so many different fabrics too.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So fun to see some new patterns out there and some good spring and summer options as
Oh, yes. I know. There's been so many good, cute, like spring releases lately. Like, my to sew list is pretty long.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time I'll have for sewing in the next, you know, little bit, but I can at least just think about it.
Maybe little bits, fits and starts, you know. Yeah. A little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a quick break and then we will jump into our main segment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
But it's hard to find an industry that technology doesn't help grow with, and sewing is no exception. New products and processes are being developed every year to work alongside our sewing. So let's just name off some examples of new technology that we've seen in the sewing industry lately. We don't necessarily have to have used it, or just anything cool that we've seen, or just examples that we've kind of, you know, witnessed in products and processes.
Well, of course, I'm super excited to see the Ditto.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a huge one. It's a specifically oriented sewing projector. Looks really cool. I haven't gotten to watch any like demonstrations or anything of it, but I am absolutely fascinated by it. And my my local sewing machine store keeps sending me headlines that are like free Ditto, and I'm like, ooh, and then I'm like, oh yeah, with a purchase of a $2,000 or a $20,000 machine, so I guess I'm not going to do that. I'm very, very into that one right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's neat in terms of like the projector aspect of it too, but also the like altering patterns and adjusting them to fit your body. I think that's really neat, and I feel like that's been something that's grown a lot in the last couple of years has been fun to see within the sewing pattern world. Just a lot of progress there. I was also thinking about one thing we did fairly recently on the Sew News Sew Daily side was working with Ditto Form, the dress forms that you know, take measurements and create the accurate dress form based on that. And there was also, now I'm forgetting the name of it. I'm forgetting the name of it, and it makes me so sad. But I think the business closed, and then it reopened with a different owner. But
My Body Model.
Model.
Yes. And it's now with Cashmerette, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Making hokies that are based on your measurements. I think that is, like,
that's
so
cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love that
definitely.
Part.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I totally, like, when I was putting together some notes for this episode, the dress form and the kind of, like, that totally slipped my mind as being part of it. But that's so true. Like, I remember, the form that like literally it like almost 3D prints like an exact like replica of yourself for like a dress form. Like that's so cool. That's a great example of like really cool sewing technology.
And I there are other companies that do similar things, I think. It's so cool that I think that is it's like all that the customization that's available now is really unique and different. And the other thing I was thinking about too is it's not necessarily tech, but thinking about the number of like subscription models that are now available in sewing. You know, it's really, it's kind of, I mean, I guess it's tech. I mean, it's community based. It's, you know, new patterns on a regular basis. But I just think it's interesting that it's like a different way of interacting with sewing and like staying connected and staying inspired and, you know, getting a pattern each month. It's just, it's really different from how you used to just go and pick up your, you know, pattern envelopes from local craft store when they released for the season. And I think folks are still doing that, but now I think you've just got a lot more options.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, there, of course, is PDF patterns, not really new technology, but the idea that you can buy a pattern, print it on your printer, tile it together, and you don't to deal with the tissue paper, and you don't have to deal with going to the store or finding the right size, especially the ones that let you use the layers so that you only print out the sizes you need. That I love it. I still just love it so much. And every time I print out a pattern and start to tile it together, the process is not something I love, but the fact that I'm doing it delights me.
I have a question. Do you guys remember when you did your first PDF pattern?
Yeah.
When was it?
Mine was when I first started interning at Birda in New York, because they were one of the first ones that I knew that kind of did that, and I remember like my mind was blown, like it was so cool, and that was 11 or 12 years ago, I believe. That kind of I saw my first PDF pattern. I didn't even think of that as a way to even utilize a sewing pattern. And I thought it was just so cool. I was like, the paper, like it was just modifying. It was so much easier with a thicker paper. And if, you know, I wanted to make a different size, I just printed it again. I just thought it was the coolest thing. So that was my, I tiled my first pattern on 6th Avenue. New York
City. Well, and mine was when I started working at Sonos in 2016.
Yeah.
And there were all these of a sudden I was just like introduced into this world of PDF patterns that I hadn't even known existed. And I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I have ever seen. I think it's possible that the first one I ever tiled was the Up in Arms blouse that I mentioned earlier. though I'm not positive. Don't quote me on. Well, you can quote me, but yeah, that was like it was amazing.
If we find out that's like, not true, Kate,
I know you're gonna send me to sewing jail. But I had I know I was it was such an eye opener, and it was because I don't know why it is that cutting out a tissue paper pattern is so much more annoying than cutting out printer paper pattern, but it really is. And so it's so good. I love it.
Me too. Mine was 2015, and I think I bought I used an independent pattern designer, Whitney Deal, and I made her Mercer tunic. And I don't know if she had a website at that point or if it was just her Etsy shop. And I do remember really hating taping the paper together and really fretting about it being perfect. So I think that I didn't do another PDF pattern for a while after, but since I think that was probably, you know, one of my early ventures into indie patterns, and you know, have completely grown to love that way more than tissue paper. 2015.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of that wave of 12, 13 to kind of 15, 16. It's just like with this huge kind of boom of these PDF, huge game changer too, for the accessibility too. I remember people would write in for, because I'm working with Birda, people in really remote locations not having the ability to go to a fabric shop and get an envelope pattern, and, you know, just being able to print it at home, it was is really cool.
Yeah. And I do think in like 2015, I wasn't sewing a ton of garments. Like I was kind of jumping back into garments. So I don't think that I had really known about PDF patterns and resisted them. I think it was just at that point when I started with Sew News and got back into garment sewing and realized there was this option. But I think for me too, it was always the instant gratification of just, you want it, you can buy it now. You know, I loved that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you weren't at like the mercy of whether your fabric store actually had the pattern that you wanted or, you know, they had it, but they had it only in the small sizes and you needed the big sizes. Yep. And it just having the ability to, I love PDF patterns, you guys. And it's not like the fanciest piece of technology. I mean, it's pretty basic.
No, it's not
at this point. But as a tech thing in sewing, it's like it's like the best thing for me. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just tried to do a quick Google of when was the first PDF the sewing pattern invented. I'm just like, now I'm just curious. Oh my gosh, this episode's the history of PDF patterns. No, but that like I can't find a clear. I'll maybe have to ask ChatGPT. That's good. That's a we should do a whole episode where we ask ChatGPT sewing questions and see how accurate they are. That's another, you know, sewing tech, but definitely. And even I was thinking sewing tech even evolved in the way people learn how to sew. Like, you know,
you're right.
You can learn virtually and like watch videos and stuff where you, like when I was in, you know, school, the only, you had to like, you know, go take a class in person to learn like sewing skills. So even just the way people are learning how to sew has advanced with technology and video and social media and kind of platforms that allow people to share content and stuff. It's really, really cool.
And with that too, like how people connect, like social media, you know, because I was involved like back in the Flickr days. And it's so funny because I have some like
Flickr
friends who are now Instagram friends. And I think that I held out a little bit on Instagram because I just didn't really. Yeah. I think back in those days, it was really like take a picture and post it now. Like it was more about kind of like moments of your life. And I didn't really get it for a while. And now y'all know about my Instagram, but I haven't really gone full TikTok yet either. So I was thinking about this episode and I was like, I wonder if I'm not like a tech holdout, kind of like in the middle of the road, you know, like I kind of wait for it to get, I don't know. I don't avoid it, but I'm not like the first person to give it a go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I may jump in with just a very funny little tidbit about learning virtually. My serger came with a video cassette that helped you learn how to. I believe it helped you learn how to use it. It did come with a manual as well, which I have lost. And I have it digitally now, which is another cool piece of little sewing tech that where you can find the manuals for your machines online. So if you lose them, you're not completely screwed. But yes, the fact that I've got a little video cassette in with my, I think it's still shrink wrapped and tucked in this little spot it has in the styrofoam that's in the box that my serger goes in. Cause I used to keep my serger in the box when I wasn't using it. And that just cracks me up that I've got a video.
I love that.
Yeah.
We should all watch that one day.
We'd have to find a VCR. That's the problem.
Oh my gosh. Even some of my sewing textbooks from school have CD-ROMs that have like resources and exit. And I was like, I don't even have a CD-ROM on my, no computers come with those anymore.
Right.
I had to
access back when when I was at Sew News, I had to access, some of our digital archives that were still on CDs, and I had to buy a little thing I could plug into my computer that would read the discs because my computer didn't have it.
Yeah. even in the embroidery space now too, like,
oh yeah,
I remember, like, even, like, not even that long ago, maybe 5 years ago, I would have so many USB sticks, and now I don't even need a USB stick to send an embroidery design to my machine. It's all through Wi-Fi. Like, it's even in that quick time. Like, yeah, it's all through, like, on my computer, I can, through my SewNet, I have, if you have, like, a Husqvarna Viking machine, you can just send it. Like, without a USB stick. So even in just these past, like, couple years, even not having to deal with a USB stick has been really cool.
I'm still using, like, the USB sticks.
No.
Well, I mean, it used to be, like, cartridges.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I know.
Have your cartridge with your certain theme of designs on it, and then and you would go and, I mean, I feel like machine embroidery is an area where things have changed a lot.
Yeah. So much.
There was a machine at the office that I actually got to work that actually used 3.5-inch floppy disks. So I also had to buy a thing that would read 3.5-inch floppy disks that I could plug into my computer so I could put designs on it. But the machine worked well, and then it had the mechanical issue and it stopped working. But the digital part where it was reading the disk still worked. And that that cracked me up. It really did.
Yeah, so maybe that just kind of, it can lead into kind of my next question or point here in just talking about, like, what sewing technology do we use and really embrace in our current studio and, you know, sewing practice right now?
Well, apart from the PDF patterns, which we've gone over in detail. one that, I mean, the machine that I use most of the time is a mechanical machine. It's it doesn't have any digital aspect to it at all. It's from the early 80s. And so on that level, and also my serger is completely mechanical. But then my embroidery machine, which I can sew on, but I usually don't because you have to take off the embroidery thing. And it's I only do that when I need to do buttonholes. Seriously, because doing buttonholes on the machine with the with the computer is a lot easier than doing it on my other machine, and the buttonholes come out better. So, but yes, so my embroidery machine with its various technology bits, though I have a very impressive machine that can do all sorts of resizing and rotating and color changing, and technically it should be able to scan something and turn it into a embroidery design, though I've never actually tried that. And it can digitize on the machine. At this point, I have access to some very good embroidery software. So that is something I generally just do everything I need to do on the software and then pop it in the machine and stitch. So I think that having a really fancy machine like that is very valuable, but less important when you have a good embroidery software. Those are the ones that's what's really jumping out at me, the PDF patterns and the embroidery stuff.
Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot on machine embroidery in the past year, and it's just not part of my daily sewing practice right now. I know there's good stuff out there. It's just not where I'm headed at the moment. I almost feel like I'm headed more mechanical now. I think part of it is that I'm doing more production type sewing for my side gig. So I think that, because I have been using my semi-industrial more, I have multiple computerized machines that I cycle through and use. But I tend not to really fully take advantage of those, I don't think, other than really good buttonholes. And but I'm mostly doing straight stitch and then finishing seam allowances on the serger, like pretty basic stuff. I do have a serger that used to be at the Sonu studio. I think it was probably from the early 2000s, and it's a touchscreen serger, but it's like you would look at it and not think it was a touchscreen. But it's a total workhorse and I love it. Nice. But I don't, you know, again, I don't like take advantage of the touchscreen aspect of it. So I'm kind of more of like a, I guess I'm just more of like, if it works fine and I don't need the latest and greatest technology. But I don't know. I definitely, I'm not adverse to it or anything. I just have been moving more mechanical. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I've been just noticing I'm using tech more in like other things I'm using around my studio. Like I take a look at my irons now, like the Elisa one that like literally has little stilts that you
can. Oh my God. I have the same one. I love it.
It's like, like I'm going to stand up, so I'm not going to burn you.
Yeah. And yeah, that is so cool. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I have the same iron and I love it.
Yeah.
I need an iron that can like anticipate when I'm going to use it in 30 seconds.
Oh, I know, you know? Right? The auto shut off is great for my peace of mind, knowing I'm not going to burn the house down. But for my sew, I'm like, oh, I like if I just sewed a long seam, I'm like, really? Yeah. Like, I only don't wait.
I have this thing with auto shut off where I avoid using irons that have it because I can generally remember to turn off my irons, but it is so annoying when you get back there and your iron's cold. I prefer irons without that feature, which are hard to find.
I know. Well, that's the thing with some tech, and we can talk about this later, how they can also be a hindrance sometimes, like when things are too smart, right? Like when just we need just that practical, like just stay on, stay hot, you know, just and my iron that I use now too, I have the Aliso and the Panasonic that's like a cordless, which can be kind of cool because I can just like take it if I need to just quickly steam like my curtains or something, and I don't have to worry about like reach if my my ironing board is more in the center of my room. I don't need to be near an outlet to, but then again, it auto shuts off then it runs out of charge if I'm ironing for too long. So it's like also then it's great, but it's also, you know, sometimes I do go back to the basic one. But yeah, just even in when I think about irons, it's just so amazing. But I use a lot of like like you, Kate, like within my embroidery, I use a lot of tech and I use a lot of like my phone, like the apps that go with my machine on my phone are really great. Like I'll be downstairs and it's like, if you're logged into my Sona, it like tells you like when to change your thread. And if it's become unthreaded, so you can be in another room and still like know what it's doing. Right.
It's pretty awesome.
I think that's really cool. And then, yeah, just for, I use it, I rarely hoop something and don't go through the My Placement app. Like, I take a picture of my fabric hooped and I place it, like, I send it and it, like, it comes up as a preview on a machine and I can see it, like, my design of it so I can get exactly where I want it. Because I find the placement process just really hard to navigate if I don't really visually. So cool. Yeah, so I use a lot of, like, with my phone and the apps and stuff. I think it's really cool. And even just like with my wireless sewing with my wireless headphones, listening to something is just such a game changer. Like when before you used to have to like, you know, my phone would be like heavy in my pocket, dragging my pants and I would have to move my foot if I had plugged in headphones. So it's just all those little things too. But
yeah. Well, and I have a Bluetooth speaker here, but which is fine most of the time, but if I'm surging, having a pair of earbuds that are noise canceling, so you can actually hear while you surge, amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. I have a an Alexa, an Echo Show in my sewing room, so which is so nice because I feel like I'm just like mid sewing and I'm like, I want to hear this song, you know. I mostly use it for music. I don't watch a lot of things while I'm sewing on it on the show, but yeah, like just having that available is really nice and probably a real upgrade from whatever I was doing before.
Yeah, and even with my Apple Watch, I find it's you'd think that that wouldn't help my sewing. Just, it doesn't really help my sewing. It just makes it less interruptive. Like, I can just, if I get a ping and I quickly, if it's not urgent, I just can ignore it instead of stopping and looking at my phone or something, or I can text someone back by just talking into it, and I'm just still at my sewing machine. So it's all those little things too, that help. I know. I didn't again, another example of like, we're like, what did we talk about? I'm like, let's talk about sewing tech. I'm like, I don't know how much we'll talk about.
No, it's really a lot more. It's about a lot more than the sewing machine.
It is.
You know, it's, there's a lot more to the experience and what you need. And, you know, even thinking about, I've really been thinking hard about, the, an electronic fabric cutter.
Oh, I feel like everybody's
experimenting with those. So you don't use scissors. It just kind of cuts along. And I've been thinking maybe that would like help my hands out a little bit. So, and I don't think like that's not new technology. It's just technology that is kind of like being used by sewists now. And I don't know. I think that's cool. We're an experimental bunch. I think we're also like always looking for, you know, easy things and things that are, you know,
things that'll make your life a little easier and a little bit more organized. And when you suggested this, Meg, I went and I Googled like sewing apps just to see what there was. And there are a lot of them that you can use to organize your stash and just, you know, make a list of everything you have. There's other ones that are basically like project notebooks where you can put all of these details in so that you can keep track of your projects and what fabric you used and all of this cool detail. And I'm not sure that that's something that I'm going to get into, but I thought it was really neat that they exist.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, like if how technology has helped us like digitally organize, like a digital kind of studio. Like,
yes.
I now organize all my indie sewing patterns in a Trello board, and it's so much easier to kind of visually like scroll through, and there each column is a different category, and I have images, like I label them if they're printed out, they're meant for knit or woven, and it's just, it's really helped, like instead of just like a desktop photo, like it's a visual way I can see. And I want to do the same with my fabric, but maybe an app right on my phone would be easier, because then I could just take the picture of the like the fabric. And so I'll need to look into that more.
Trello
closet,
is
I know I have fabric in my closet, but I don't know what I can see visually what I have out, but there's lots of stuff in there. You know.
Well, and I think Trello is a great tool. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with it, but it's kind of a visual list organizing app, and or not app. Yep. Well, it is an app. You can have an app and you can do it on your browser. And we used to use it. Well, we still use it at Sew News, and it's really great for organizing and doing things visually. I used to use it to track embroidery designs through their process of being digitized and put up on the shop, and all of that process I used to just follow along in a Trello. I know Meg still uses it for organizing each issue now. I know because I contribute to it, so I'm on that board. And it can be a really, really, really useful tool, and it's very adaptable, so you can really figure out, you know, how your brain likes to organize things.
Exactly.
And then organize it accordingly. If you want to check out Trello, it's easy, free account. So cool.
Yeah. And I find like some of these organizational things, like the free version is very limiting, but Trello free, actually you can really use it with the free version. Like I even like store my files, like you can attach, like each attachment has like a large megabyte amount that you can attach. So it's like, it houses my files too, which is really great. I can access them from different computers and stuff. So,
and it makes it very,
it makes it very easy when we're like, if I'm writing an article for Meg, then I can just take it and upload it to the Trello board, and then she's got
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have to use mm-hmm. I don't have to use one of the big file transfers. I don't have to email it. I just put it on the board and it's there. And she'll be notified.
Trello, sponsor us.
I know.
Trello's listen. Like, that's a good example. Like, sewing, you know, it's not for sew. Like, it's not marketing to sewers at all. And, you know, but it works.
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all are so much more organized than I am.
Well, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I have ADHD. And so for me, I need certain things to keep me on track.
I was also going to talk a little bit about kind of like inspiration and project planning, and like I use a lot of even in Photoshop, but now there's like lots of programs like Canva and like photo editing that you can take like the technical image and input like colors and different fabrics, so you can kind of visualize a make before you make it. So there's like lots of things you can do on your computer to kind of help plan a project or visualize what it's going to look like if you're not, you know, if you're not advanced, or, you know, you're intimidated by like sketching out in person. I know sometimes sketching out in person can be, you know, you need extra tools and stuff and mindset, which I like doing as well. But sometimes I like, you know, doing that on my computer too,
because
you can
like
take your fabric swatch and you can like, you know, fill in a space with like the technical drawing that's provided with the pattern, and you can kind of get really planny.
That's cool. I never thought about that, but that's awesome.
Oh, so many things. I just kind of more so in my notes, like we've kind of like covered so many of these like topics, like computerized sewing machines and apps. And maybe let's talk a little bit about like kind of sometimes when it can be like a little bit of a hindrance. I know with my computerized sewing machine, it sometimes is almost like too smart, you know,
too user friendly
where I was trying to do some shearing, and you know, it's, you have to select the certain, you know, fabric and, you know, the weight or whatever that you're using. And when I wound the bobbin with an elastic, it auto sets to, and so it doesn't just allow what the kind of whatever thread or whatever it do its job. And I found the same thing when like I use like the Coates Eloflex thread. I think it's really cool. You can do a straight stitch on a, and it like the thread stretches, but you can't use it on a highly computerized machine because there's no setting for like this stretch, like stretch thread. And so sometimes I find like things can get a little too smart, like how we talked about with the iron, you know, let's say, or I don't know. So there's just a few things that you just want to get back to just the basics, you know.
Yeah, the Husqvarna Viking embroidery machines have that feature, or at least the one that I've worked with has that feature where, you know, you kind of have to pick, okay, what kind of embroidery is this? Is it regular embroidery? Is it lace embroidery? Is it, you know, some sort of other special embroidery? And I'm kind of like, just let me look at the design. I just want to look at the design and I just want to stitch it out. I feel like having to go through, it feels like it makes me jump through a bunch of hoops before I can start embroidering. And most of the time,
was that a pun?
That was
No, it wasn't. But yes, it was. We're counting that as a pun. It makes me jump through a bunch of hoops before I can even get to hooping. And so that tends to like some of the stuff that's designed to really help beginners, I wish could be like turned off sometimes, because when you're advanced, you're like, I don't need to go through this rigmarole. I know what needle I need. I know what hoop I need. I've already got it hooped up and ready to go. I just need to get to the point where I can press go. The other thing, this is like this tiny, tiny little thing I'm going to complain about. The reason I like to use a mechanical machine is because I like when I take my foot off the pedal for the needle to stop where it is. And on computerized machines, it almost always finishes the cycle to go up or go down, depending on how you set it. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go up or down. I want it to stop right there so I can look at my pivot and decide whether I need to go back a stitch with the wheel or forward a stitch with the wheel for the right pivot point. I don't want you to keep stitching after I stop putting power into the machine. And that is, it's just the stupidest little thing, but it makes me crazy. And so that's one of the reasons I don't, I try to mostly sew with mechanical machines, because mechanical machines are like, no more power, stop stitching.
My example for that is the way that I like to gather. I like to turn up the stitch length and turn up the tension all the way, and that creates a nice even gather. But I think on some machines, like, that's if they have an auto tension setting and that you can't adjust, you really can't override that. Like, it wants to fix it for you. But sometimes, as you're saying, Meg, you like you want it to do something different based on the application. And I do. I mean, I haven't used a really high end computerized machine. I think I could probably get used to that. But I like the on the mechanical side, just being able to choose, you know, like I know the fabric, I know the stitch length that I want to use. And I don't know, sometimes all of the suggestions make me frustrated.
Yeah. It's like you're trying too hard to help me. And I feel like if I hope this isn't insulting to anybody, but I feel like a lot of times that stuff is designed to be not idiot proof, but, you know, sort of beginner proof, like to make it easier for people who don't know all of those details. And then when are those people who know all of the details, who know the trick about how to gather or have their own way of sewing that they're just so used to, that's me, I'm really stuck in my rut, then all of a sudden all the stuff that's supposed to help is really just getting in your way.
It's like in my driving test, I couldn't use my backup cam. You're not allowed to like look at like the screen,
that's pretty standard now.
But for me, it's the back stitch is the main. I love a hand lever, like a button back stitch sometimes can throw me off a little bit, especially you press it once and it keeps going until you press it again, or like you don't hold it down enough. So that's one thing that in certain machines, like they're too smart. So that's my main thing, is like a back stitch. But I mean, I do love just sort of like pressing a button, like enable twin needle, and there's all these fun stitches. And if I want to sew with button, it's a small part of it, but you know, sometimes just still those things.
Yeah. You know what gets me? When there's no lever to raise or lower the foot, when you can only raise or lower the foot from a button, that I'm just like, I need the physical feeling of lifting my foot. Please don't do this to me. And like my embroidery machine has both. I can use a button or I can use a lever, and it depends on whether I'm sewing or embroidering which one I use.
I feel like though it doesn't take very long to get used to a new and different machine, which I feel like we learned from working on Sew News and Sew Daily and doing video with lots of different machines. Like it feels like a big thing to have to like get used to a different process, but you know, you're more flexible than you think you really are, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one of my little skills that I'm proud of is being able to sit down in front of any machine and use it, because I've used so many machines and I'm not intimidated
by so many different brands.
Yeah, it's like I'm not, you know, it may be like, for example, with a Husqvarna Viking Epic that I used, the way of winding a bobbin was very different from the usual way. And so I would have to look that up. But the actual act of threading and sewing was not usually particularly difficult for me. And I think that that's you know, it's a nice skill to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will take that auto needle threader button that...
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great tech advancement that I love.
Yes. Yeah, nobody's complaining about that.
Yeah, no one's complaining about that. Let's just end it on, is there any technology that you are tickled by and want to explore more and want to learn more about or embrace a little bit?
Go ahead, Amanda.
I was just going to say, I haven't done much with projector sewing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have been thinking about it. And we were, you know, on the magazine side, we were kind of tracking that before Ditto came along. And, like, there was a lot of, there's still a lot of retrofitting, people using projectors that are not meant for sewing, for sewing. But it never really meshed with, like, how I sew, which is, like, sewing the same thing a gazillion times. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then it's, like, pretty okay to just have a paper pattern to use,
right?
Or a, you know, a PDF, a tiled pattern. I have been thinking too about like business applications and if there's a way for me to like use the projector with what I'm doing for my business. And I haven't really come up with anything that is like feels better than my current system, again, because it's a lot of the same design over and over again. But I'm really curious about it, and I feel like I was thinking about it, and, you know, it's really important to me to think about beginners and all of that, and, like, what is going to get people into sewing? Uh-huh. Is it – maybe there are some people who are interested in the tech and being able to customize it for their body, and I think that's great, but also, like, making sure that it's still accessible and, like, not so hard to get started that you don't even try, you know. I do worry about that with projectors a little bit, just making sure that it's like very beginner friendly, and maybe that's more beginner friendly than a PDF pattern that you print out and have to tile and make sure that it's, you know, calibrated correctly. But I do think it is an interesting time in like the history of sewing, and I think it's important to like mark those dates, and like someone should know when the first PDF sewing pattern was created, you know, because that's like that's telling the story of like this portion of sewing, and I think it's really cool. But yeah, so far I have not done much with projectors, and that's probably more about how I'm sewing currently than like my feelings about technology.
Well, and I was going to say very similar things, that the idea of projector sewing is really, really fascinating to me. I kind of looked into it a couple of years ago before my birthday. I wanted to see, you know, get something and try it out. And there wasn't enough information out there. It was like, I'm going to have to figure this out totally on my own without anybody telling me how to do it. So I kind of gave up on that because it wasn't that important to me. That's why I'm kind of excited about the Ditto, because it's designed for this exact thing, and it's supposed to be very easy to set up.
The calibration is what intimidates me.
I think that's
designed pretty common. Do that. Very easy.
So that's kind of where I'm most excited. And I love the idea of the apps that organize all your stuff, but also the project of like inputting all of my fabric into an app.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wouldn't actually do that. Like I wouldn't. And so it's like, it's too late. It's too late for me to do this because I know that I'm not going to do it successfully. And so I'm going to have to just stick with my old non-technological system of putting some of it on shelves and putting some of it in the closet, kind of like Meg.
And then digging through it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Maybe you should just wait until technology advances. You can just take a picture of your closet. It's auto scans and auto sorts and organizes.
And even then, I'd have to take a picture of every piece of fabric that I have. Like, I don't want to. I have to unfold it so I could see the size, and I have to, then I have to refold it, and I'm like, no, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, because then you could document like how much you have, so you know what you can make with each piece of fabric.
Exactly. And that's, that's part of these apps. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for me, a projector is just something I want to get in my sewing studio, whether it is a Ditto or just a regular projector, because I find with making children's clothes, I mean, they grow so quickly and I don't want to keep printing the next. I mean, I could print and keep tracing out, but it seems easier just to, like, you know, turn on the projector, layer it. And since they're so small, they can be contained, a whole layout can be contained in my tabletop. It's not... Right. I find like a projector with a big piece of I would think that maybe a paper pattern would be easier because it would need to extend off my table anyway. But I think for children's clothes and sewing like swimsuits and lingerie and like all those stuff that I like to sew, I think a projector would be really, really great for that. Just, you know, selecting the next size and cutting it out without any extra paper. So projector is something I need in my studio. I want one so bad. I think
for kids' clothes is like an example of like where it makes total sense. Of where if you're making something in multiple sizes, I think that it really can save time, save paper, all those things. But yeah, we'll see how the technology advances. It's definitely cool. And I love that there's like new stuff for sewists. There should be.
We're important. Definitely.
Definitely.
We are. Yeah, for sure. Oh, that was a fun topic. Yeah, so let's take a quick break and we'll talk about our sewing inspiration.
Sounds
good. Inspo.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, now it's time for our favorite segment, our Sew Inspo segment, where we talk about what's giving us our sewing inspiration today. Meg, why don't you start us off?
Sure. I am just sewing a lot for the baby. I made like all these little onesies, like
cute. Oh, that like, has got off... to be has got to be art gallery fabric right there.
It is. Yeah, they sent me a bunch of fabric to film my like Style Revive series, and I have like all these little bits and pieces of leftovers. And it's like I love baby clothes because you can just use the tiny little bit. So, like. I'm like batch sewing some onesies. I have like 7 cut out beside me. Instead of like putting the fabric away, like I was like, I'm just going to cut whatever I can out of whatever I have left. So I had like a cutting party, what was it, on Friday night after my tears dried.
No.
Yeah, I was like, I know how to sew baby onesies. I know how to use a pedal on my sewing machine. Maybe not.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, one day I'll get over it. Anyway, so sewing a lot for the baby, but next I want to make a birthing gown. I went to a birthing class. I think I talked about this last time, but anyways, like a lot of people were saying, like, bring your own clothes. Like the hospital clothes can be a little bit itchy. So I went to this like discount fabric store and I bought the rest of the bolt of this amazing, like, soft cotton. It's an Amy Butler print. Like it was like $3 a yard. And ooh. I was like, I'll take the bolt. And so I'm going to make the Suki robe that you've made before, yeah. Amanda. And I'm going to make like a slip and like matching pajamas. So I'm going to kind of make a whole like birthing capsule collection. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Hospital bag. But then it just wasn't like, I kept putting it off. I'm like, maybe I just don't really want to sew this right now. Cause I forgot that my mother-in-law gave me this like vintage Coach, like bag, like diaper bag. She thought it was a laptop bag when she bought it, like, you know, 10 years ago, and she realized it was a diaper bag, and she's like, she loved all the pockets, so she gave it to me. I was like, I'll just use that, and I'm just gonna make, I still want to make a duffel bag anyway, but I was like, for right now, I just really want something comfy and, like, cool to wear, like, myself, because that's just so, that's what I'm cutting out next and sewing.
Awesome. How about you, Amanda?
I am in Skirt Town. I am working on a design for my biz side, my side gig. And, just been thinking about everything I love about summer skirts and, bringing all of my favorite elements into a single design, that I will want to sew. And over and over and over again, which is a different kind of thought process, but I do love it. I love skirt weather. Like a skirt and a t-shirt is my favorite summer outfit. With super big pockets, of course. So that's where I'm at.
Cool. Well, I already talked about mine to some extent. I'm kind of obsessed with sewing leather right now, and I'm all about figuring out what else I can make. I showed my mom what I was working on, and she's like, oh, make me one. So I may be doing that, just making my mom a version of what I made myself. Or I might be making a wallet to match my purse.
Ooh, yeah.
Or I'll come up with something else entirely. I'm not really sure. But I want to sew with leather some more because I enjoyed it so much. So that's where I am.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Last night, Julian was having like a kind of get together after my baby shower next week. And so he was cleaning out the basement, tidying it up. And he found this bag with these leather pants in it. And I forgot, I thrifted them like weeks before I found out I was pregnant. And so now I was like, I have all these leather pants that I bought them so I could cut them up to make them into like, you know, little earrings or wallets and stuff. So it's like, fun. I just got some new leather yardage. I know.
Yes. Yeah,
I was not going to try and fit into leather pants.
No.
Yeah. He's like, are these your leather pants? I'm like, oh, I totally forgot. It's like, you know, when you forget something and then you're like, get the excitement all over again.
Oh, yeah. I should make some earrings out of my scraps. I've got some little pieces.
Leather earrings are so cute. Like, if you embroider on them and, like, do some cutouts, like, oh, my gosh. I know. I love Sadie. Like, her earrings that she makes are so cool.
I think she made a pair that went into the magazine a few years ago that were, like, little drop shapes that I really liked.
Oh, yeah.
I might just imitate those.
Yeah.
I love it. It's lightweight, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Leather earrings are more lightweight than metal, at least. Oh. Yes.
Do I need birthing earrings? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, you do.
No. Birthing. No, you don't want to deal with that.
No, I know.
Maybe a birthing leather headband.
Ooh.
Keep your hair out of your face.
Like a sweatband.
Yeah. I should make a head and like a matching scrunchie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, yeah, I feel like my nesting is kicking. They say you get this like burst of kind of energy and you want to prepare. Like yesterday I cleaned my, I took everything off my stove and I scrubbed my stove. I scrubbed all the inside of my microwave. Like, and I was like, I think my nesting's beginning, like my cleaning and...
Yeah. That's the only way to explain that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Oh, this was such a fun episode.
Yes, it was. That was so fascinating. You guys always have the best ideas about what we should talk about. And I just kind of go along with it. And then there are so many good topics and we talk for so long. And it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm every time that happens, I'm just thoroughly convinced that like, sewing is a lot more than sewing. You know, it's like,
yes, totally.
You know, it's a way of life. It's a neat perspective too to think about technology. You know, from the sewist perspective, I think is really neat. But it is, yeah, it goes deep.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that the best technology is kind of just how we can all podcast and share, like just even right now.
Yes,
like it would this. You know,
yeah, Meg's in Canada. Megan or Amanda and I are an hour drive apart, and yet we're all here talking right now. So
true. Awesome. Thankful. Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, let's sew.
Let's sew.
Here We Sew Again is produced by Amanda Carestio, Meg Healy, and me, Kate Zinard. Find us on Instagram at Here We Sew Again Pod or email us at HereWeSewAgainPod@gmail.com. Our show website is shows.acast.com/here-we-sew-again. Thanks for listening, and now it's sew time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.